just a little bit different. Just a little bit different. Memorial is commemorative object or event, something that is intended to remind people of somebody who has died or an event in which people died, a statue, speech, or ceremony. Statement of facts accompanying petition, a written statement of facts accompanying a petition presented to a person or a group in authority. A commemorative intended as a reminder of a person or an event, as a celebration of somebody's life and work. For this Memorial Day, I know we look at it as those that have served in the military, but we must not forget the fact that we have someone that we should always be keeping in our memory, is Jesus. But some of the things we got to go through in Scripture to see what it is that we have to remember. It's very easy for us to say, I remember when I got saved. Most of you may remember the day that you really gave your life to Christ, and you'll have that understanding. But there's things in your life through the Word that you have to keep in remembrance of what God has promised you. And if we don't hold on to the promise, guess what's going to happen? You're going to miss it. You'll miss it. So what I want you to do is go to Joshua 4:1, please. In the book of Joshua, chapter 4, at verse 1. Joshua 4:1. A friend of mine from high school is here in the room. And some of y'all have heard some of the stories that I've said about how I used to sit up in the church, up in the corner. My mom would be down in the front row, and I'd be up in the corner hiding, falling asleep. And then my mom would ask me, what was the message about? Oh, Lord, the sound isn't real good up there, you know, because we just playing around, falling asleep, getting in trouble by the ushers. But Richard's been a good friend of mine from high school, and Facebook has seemed to be more for, you know, adults as opposed to the children now. Children got all this other kind of stuff called Vine and all those other ones. Whatever they are. I'm still just trying to learn Facebook, and it's been out for a while. But we got connected again through that, and I appreciate him calling, and more or less, I appreciate you coming. I do. Really appreciate it. I was talking to my wife about it last night, and my mom reminded me of when his mom came and spoke to her concerning our issues in the home. It was a setup. It's a setup. Your family led this family to where they are today. Yeah, I didn't know it till last night. Your mom invited us to go to Cornerstone, remember that? And that's when my mom got saved, and I got saved, not knowing what salvation was, but I know now. But it led to this point. Can you say a setup? A setup. See, the turmoil that we were going through at that time, it just needed to have someone come into the mix and bring some good news. So on the day of Memorial Day, it seemed fitting to just mention that story, how God had a way of setting things up to get people where they needed to be, even in the midst of their storm. And all mama said, your mama told my mom, says, I'm interested in opening up a beauty shop. And really, in reality, was I'm really interested in opening up your heart to Jesus. And we got saved. We got saved. We went on a journey real quick. And I don't forget the journey. But it's something to look back and celebrate. Amazing. On Joshua 4:1, I want you to look there if you would. Now it came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourself 12 stones, say 12 stones, from here and out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, crossing again to the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask you later, what mean these stones? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. It will always stand the test of time. And I thank you, Lord, that it gives us strength into our soul, strength into our body, and strength into our spirit, Lord. We thank you that you give us the hidden manna, the fresh manna of your word, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What mean these stones? He chose 12. Did he not choose 12 when they went to spy out the land? Did he not? Now Joshua, and I want you to think about this. Let's back up, put it in reverse, back up a little bit. And Moses was called to take the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, and get them to their promised land, correct? Along came this little snot-nosed running boy named Joshua. Joshua was a little boy at that time, kind of like Marty, just little rounder on the sides here, and just always had a tendency to be following other people around, just watching what's going on. Just watching this Moses, what he's doing with this staff and walking around and all these kind of things happening. But Joshua was paying attention, So Joshua was around when the Red Sea parted. See? So now when God calls Joshua, he already knew, I've seen the waters part. I've seen the waters part before. I can definitely do this because really it's not me. All I got to do is just listen and walk it out. But what I find interesting is that he tells Joshua, now tell the tribe, one man from each tribe, to go and pick up stones. So this is what he did. Some of this is what's happening in the church today. We don't want to go back into the middle of things. See, these men, they were the armed men of the tribe that went in before the ark, and the priests had to stand in the middle of the Jordan. Sometimes we need men of God to stand in the middle of the storm. We need people to stand in the middle of things that are going on that don't seem favorable and don't quite have an understanding. How are the waters standing still for hundreds of thousands of people to cross over this river? But they're standing still. But the men, after Joshua crossed, he told the men, now go back into the middle of the Jordan and pick up 12 stones. Sometimes you feel like you got to go back through something again, even after you just came out. But you got to go back and pick up something to remind you of how good God is. Sometimes you got to go through that river again. While everybody's crossing over, sometimes you got to go against the grain. Because if you stay with the flow, you may think that it had to do just because you were part of it. It had nothing to do with your ability or your strength. It had to do about listening to God. But then he said, now, Joshua, tell them to go back and grab 12 stones, one for each tribe. Now, if you continue reading the story, they get it and they go back and they set it where they are going to rest for the night. They establish a memorial. Some of us, we pick up the stones, we leave it there, and we just keep on moving on. We don't want to give God glory for what he's already done. We don't want to say that God did it. Oh, it was because I went to school and I got my education and I knew how I could do this. It's because I paid my price. This is why I'm blessed. Don't forget that you have no breath in your body unless God give it to you. You can do nothing without God. Nothing. I said no thing. Only God can do it. But read on. Watch what happens with Joshua. Joshua now is commanded by God to take 12 stones and take it back where the priests are standing. Wait a minute. Why would Joshua have to grab 12 stones from this side of the Canaan and put it in the middle of the Jordan? Joshua had to do it by himself. See, the other 12 stones were picked up by one person from each tribe. Joshua had to do it all by himself and put it back where the priests were standing, right in the middle where it is still today. Why would God command Joshua to do that? Because the promised land has been blessed from the beginning of time. Take from this land and put in the middle of the Jordan so that the people that would always think, well, I'm going to go get those stones. How are you going to get it unless I divide the waters? How are you going to get to a place in God unless I'm there? How are you ever going to create a miracle unless I'm part of it? It only has to be done through God and not through this staff of Moses and not because of the ark. At that moment, it was because the presence of God and the priest stood in the middle. We can't even get pastors and preachers and teachers today to stay in the middle of the storm, to stay in the middle of the waters and wait for everybody to pass through because they're so interested in getting up to the front first. We're going to close now. Joshua was the called and the set man from God to lead the people into their promise. Now we read prior to this, Joshua and Caleb had went out with 12 men to go spy out the land. They were there 40 days. And in those 40 days, they got good reports of the land, bring back the grapes and come into the land, but the people didn't want to hear that because there's giants in the land. And then God turns around and tells Moses, because these people, for every day that they were in my promise and they don't want to cross over, I will add a year for every day and they will not enter in. Hence, that's why the 40 years in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but when God tells me to do something, don't you wait. Don't wait and don't delay. Don't wait and don't delay. Because if you wait, it's disobedience. It's called delayed disobedience. Just obey God. Obey God. See, well, here's the thing that plagues the church. How do you know it's God that's speaking to you? Here's what I hear over and over and over. The Lord has sent me here, but now the Lord is telling me I feel led. I got to go over here. What happened to the here? Did he change his mind? Did he change his shirt that day and say, it just doesn't go with what I said? I just decided to just change what I said. No, I got to be led to go over there. Just got to be led to go over there. Lead yourself right on out the door then. Go. Go, because you're not hearing from God. You will hear three voices in your life. You'll hear God, you'll hear yourself, and you'll hear the enemy. So how do you know when it's God? How do you know? Because if it challenges you, and it makes you go back where you don't want to go back, make you go through something that you don't want to go through, he's going to remind you it has nothing to do about you. It always has to do about God. If you want to draw attention to yourself, guarantee you this, you won't fall, and you're going to fall hard. The Bible says that pride comes before the fall. Pride. Not that pride, the machismo, like, hey, I make all the money. I just give it to you so you can pay the bills and I ask for, some money. I'm just saying because, sometimes men think they got to be the breadwinner. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But mama's the one that pays all the bills and makes sure that you have your allowance, right? Yeah. Yeah, mama makes sure you have your allowance about $10 every day, if you get that $10 every day. But pride always comes before the fall. Joshua knew that as long as that we can stay in the presence of God, be obedient to his command, that we can always create for ourselves a memorial, that our children can look back at these stones now and say, what mean these stones? In other words, what are these stones? Why do we have these stones? What are these about? How many of you have children that ask you, how do we get out of that last storm we were in? Because I remember a couple weeks ago, it was pretty bad, and something changed. Something changed. How do we get through that? Do you say, just things just have a time, tendency to work itself out, or time heals? Well, let me just give that little line, devil. Time does not heal. I've seen a lot of elderly very sick. Time don't heal, God heals. Time allows you to reflect. And when you reflect, you didn't begin to realize I've been in a storm before. And he's gotten me through before he's going to do it again. He He's going to do it again. God is not going to ever leave you and not give you a victory from your opponent, what is opposing you. He's not going to leave you so that you're not victorious. He's going to give you victory. It's when you're able to just surrender. Joshua had to carry those stones himself and put them at the feet of the priests. He had to do it. And as he did that, it was signifying to the tribe, you're not the only one carrying the burden. I carry the burden too. When the set man carries a burden, those that are called as leaders can also carry their burden. I'm trying to help you. Mama shouldn't be doing everything in the house. Well, I thought for sure I had some women celebrate that one. I made caffeinated coffee today. Y'all should be awake. I'll make y'all stand up and do some Zumba or something. Amen. Mamas don't have to do everything. Now, if mama's the only one in the house, well, okay, mama don't say, well, my man's coming someday, and I'll just leave it till my man comes. Maybe because you ain't got it ready, your man ain't here yet. I know y'all got some pedicures today, but look, y'all going to get them messed up. You got ready? And we're all ready because you got to get things in order before you can see what God wants to get to you. If you say, I'm praying for a man, send me my husband. But if he can't even get you to pick up your dirty laundry that's in the living room, to the kitchen, down the hallway, before it even gets to the hamper, why is he going to send you a mate that don't want to have to do that himself? So you know how the church folk do it, but hey, they feel, oh, hey, I got an unction. No, you didn't get an unction. You got stepped on. That's what happened. Because sometimes I'm going to wait on God. Just wait on God. My spouse is coming. How is your spouse going to come if you never go out and do anything? Just going to just show up at your apartment or your house. Bing. God sent me to you. I'm here for you, Master. Not going to happen. Just not going to happen. I don't know about you, Jackie, but I know that when they sin, in the Bible, they sent for their wives, they didn't come empty-handed, knuckleheads. They came with a J-O-B. They came with their own money. They came with some future. They didn't come empty-handed. When the camels came, they came loaded down. The camels didn't come broke, busted, and disgusted. They came loaded down. The camel didn't come with one hump missing and the other one falling apart. They came the way it was supposed to be. But if you happen to look for just anything that comes your way, I take you. You ain't got a job. Don't worry about it. I make money. You file bankruptcy? Okay. Don't worry about it. I got good credit. Yeah. You got kids? I got kids too. Don't worry. Come on. Don't worry about it. I just don't want to be alone no more. You don't cook. Well, you don't do dishes. And so I do them for you. I know I work 9 hours a day, but when I come home, I'll make dinner for you and then I'll cook. I can stay on this one a little bit, Floyd. I'm going to stay here for a little bit. See, but we pray. I'm praying God's going to send me my man, send me my woman. You've been waiting a long time, haven't you? Then you need to start looking in the mirror. What is he trying to tell you? What is he trying to get across to you? I've been trying to get you to learn how to obey me, because if you obey me, then the person that I send to you, they'll be able to learn how to obey me too as they watch you obey me. And see, then it becomes an equal yoke and not a... People think, well, they're unsaved. I shouldn't be near them. You weren't saved either before you got saved. All the kids are gone. I can talk now. Amen. I can talk now. You see, ooh, Lord. You're looking at me. I'm going to say it this way. See, before you were saved, you did a test drive, didn't you? Yeah, I know you did. You did a test drive. Some of y'all did too many test drives.
So we got to break all kinds of soul ties. You can't even get into your bride because you got so many soul ties you bring from your past relationships, and you can't even enjoy the one God gave you because you got so many soul ties. And then you look at the one that God has given you, and you say, you're going to be just like the other one. I got your number. Why would God send you the blessing if you're going to ruin it?
Amen.
Huh? Why is God going to send you the one that you really want if you're just going to just degrade them and tear them down, emasculate them, and they can no longer be men, they got to be boys? Lord Jesus, wait a minute. Why are we? Oh. See, look. I have never had the sanctuary without any kids, so we're going to stay here. We're going to stay here. But then, you're not married, are you? But you're about to be, and it's okay. Let me help you. You're going to go through your schooling. You're going to go through everything you need to learn. But one of the things you're going to always remember this is God comes first, right? Simple. And then comes your relationship with your spouse. Not the job, not ministry, not the church, God, your family, your children. Watch this. I'm going to help you right now before you even get in-laws. Meaning before you ever have mother-in-law, father-in-law, and all the laws. Your house comes first, not their house. Who am I talking to here? See, let me get my cousin, because my cousin, we can talk. Your house is your house. Not the ones outside your house telling you how to live in your house. No. See, that's out of order. See, your man is your man, your husband. And if someone ever wants to say anything about your spouse, say the ring ain't on your finger, baby. And I know you're my mama. I know you're my grandma. I know you're my auntie. But the ring ain't on your finger. I said I do. He or she said I do. That meant that you've got to keep your mouth shut. That's a little rough for y'all. That's a little rough for y'all. Y'all like, wait a minute. Hold on. Hey. You ever wonder why some marriages just don't work out? There ain't no honesty. There's no transparency amongst the soulmates. I wish my mama was right here, right? My wife right here. Where my baby? She's playing with the water. I need to just go out there and play with water. We got to be transparent. We've got to be real. We've got to be. And if any hidden motive is there, your soulmate's going to know. I'm trying to help you, man, because you're heading that direction. You're heading there. I don't know you, but you're heading there. Yeah, you're getting there. Brother, you're getting there. You're a good student. You're a good man. Good man. Learn everything you got to learn. God has called you to be an evangelist. An evangelist, son. And through you, signs and wonders shall be performed. Through you. But God is getting ready to bring to you your helpmate. Your helpmate. And your helpmate will be right with you, that you won't have to pull, tug, or push. Matter of fact, she's going to have a tendency to look back at you and say, are you ready? She'll beat you in the morning to the presence of God before you get up. That's what you've asked for. I want someone that wants God more than I want God, that would challenge me and get me even closer. Keep seeing you, man, that you're going to get. So listen to this message. We're going to forget all memorial. We're going to go right here, okay? Because it's going to help. It's going to help you. It's going to help you. Every now and then, you have relationships that just have a tendency to fail. I'm going to caveat back to this. You'll see. Eventually. I said 5 o'clock and I got plenty of time still. Relationships only work unless they get tested. Oh, did that one? Yeah, I don't like that one. When your relationship is tested and you can pass that test, that don't mean you're never going to have a test again. That just means you just pass that one and you can move on to the next level. But then here comes the other test. But because you passed that first test, I was crying and everything. But see,
when you pass the first test, he's gonna get me. We ain't no kids in here, so we on this thing now, baby. We're on this thing. Now watch this, watch. After you pass your first test with your soulmate, and let me just bind that lying spirit. Well, my soulmate died a long time ago, and the one that I'm with is not my soulmate now, so is it going to work? Do you think God did not have in his plan that you were going to make some choices in your life that had nothing to do with the Holy Ghost? Because remember, you weren't always saved. You weren't always saved. You did test drives. You did test drives. And you normally chose the one that looked good on the outside, and then you realized on the inside wasn't really the one. Well, anyhow, but you see, what happens is that you have to kind of learn how to work with this thing. And once it works with you and you understand the mechanics of it, meaning the inside, because the inside of the car is just as important as the outside. And the inside is the things that make things work together. Mm-hmm. If you don't go through the storm, you're not going to know when your baby is weak. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know when your baby is hurting. Unless you go through a storm together. And when you go through the storm together, you can always look back and say, baby, remember that last one? This too shall pass. So he said, take up 12 stones. Did he not? See, I told you I'd get back. I told you I'd get back. Some of y'all looking at me like, would you get off of this thing? This isn't the marriage retreat. This isn't the marriage retreat. Now get back. Now watch this. Now what happens is because they went through that, they came out on the other side, they took 12 stones. Baby, you're going to get a ring with 12 stones. Woo-hoo. 12 stones. As a memorial, so you can see what you've been through, see what he brought you out of, to see what he's doing for you. Amen? Okay, I'm going to get off that relationship because y'all are like, no. Yeah, the single one, like, yeah, stay, baby, just stay. Stay. Y'all are funny. Genesis 2:12. I want to show you something. Woo! Everybody take a deep breath. Now let it out. And say, Pastor, we love you.
Pastor, we love you.
We forgive you. You owe us a pedicure. Amen. All right, Genesis 2:12. Some cupcakes. Genesis 2:12. We love you, love you, love you. Genesis 2:12. Here's where I want to make the first mention of the stones and bring some enlightenment to you. Genesis 2 and verse 12. This is God speaking about the Garden of Eden, but watch what he says here. Let's kind of back up a little bit in verse 9. Verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and that is good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. Now we understand that when you talk about vegetation, you're going to talk about how the vegetation is going to be sustained, correct? So that's, you would figure, well, I'm going to talk to you about water because you need to know about the trees. Now he goes into the next sentence and says this in verse 11. The name of the first, he gives the names of the rivers. Go to verse 12. The gold of that land is good. The delium and the onyx stone are there. Now, why is this important concerning the Garden of Eden? The gold. Gold represents the presence of God and the glory of God, meaning that that's there in the garden. The delium, which is something that's very interesting, that if you look up delium, you'll see that it's a pearl. Pearl in Scripture represents revelation. Understand that? So in the garden, there's glory, revelation, and then the black onyx. Black onyx is indicative of the finger and the nail. Black will always be represented in Scripture as the prophetic of God. The prophetic Word of God in the garden will bring revelation, and it will nail you to the future, to the cross. Your revelation knowledge of what God has given you in the garden is to let you know, I have everything in the works, in the plan for what you're about to experience. The nail that nailed Jesus to the cross was to fasten and keep him on humanity, was it not? Because the wood represented humanity. The nail represented the black onyx that was originally in the garden. God had a plan already of sacrifice that was coming to bring us right back into the garden state where we were cast out of the garden. When Jesus went to the cross, here's your memorial. Here's your memorial. It's no longer about the stones. Now it's a memorial about the nails on humanity that keeps you connected to your promise. The revealing truth of God, the revelation of his word, keeps you in his promise. All took place in the garden. He had a plan all along to keep you blessed, to keep you in that state. But when we fell, the enemy took that away. When Jesus came and went to the cross, he got us right back into the garden state. The garden state, where everything flows to you. To you. You have to realize that God had a plan all along to keep you blessed. Blessed. Go to Genesis 28, please. Genesis 28. Remember, you said you love Pastor. Go to 28. I don't hear no grumbling over there. That was the first service. Why didn't he tell me it's going to be a marriage service? Something, you know, memorial. And stuff. Genesis 28 and verse 10, please. Now, this is before we even go through and read it, but just take a note from Genesis 28, 10 through 22. This is where God visited Jacob. So when Jacob goes now and he goes to rest in the land, he pulls a stone, correct? Puts it under his head. Jacob is Israel. Israel in the Bible represents the church. The church always needs the rock of our salvation to rest upon. See, now when the church can rest on him, on the rock, the heavens always open up. When the heavens open up, you see the angels ascending and descending, correct? Now, he'd never seen Jesus, but now he can say, because the revelation knowledge, the Delium, was revealed, there is the Son of Man standing at the door of heaven. God has a way of revealing him to you through his promises. That's that rock. Now, I want you, if you would please, go to Acts 4. Acts 4. Acts 4 and verse 5, when you're there, say amen. All right. Acts 4, 5. Let's start at verse 1. We're going to read this a little bit. We're going to read the word. Is it okay if we read the word? Is it okay if we read the Bible in church? It's okay if we can study the Bible in church? Okay. I don't have no pictures, but I'm going to draw a picture for you. Draw a picture for you. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed. The number of the men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly descent. When they had placed him in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Verse 8 is where it begins to get very interesting here. Now, you just seen how they were first thrown in, locked up, thrown in prison, now brought out to be questioned by the people, and it's very clear who's questioning them, right? Those of intellect, those of the intellect of the Bible, they understood scripture, but the scripture of the law, but they didn't understand who this Jesus is, this Jesus. Now, I just, from Genesis, I was just showing you who Jesus is, correct? But they didn't have that understanding. So now you begin to see here in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you have crucified and whom God raised from the dead. By this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation none else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which must be saved. Now, what he's talking about, the chief cornerstone, he's talking to them because they understood, they knew how to build, they knew how to do things. They understand that the cornerstone of a building carries the burden, carries the weight. Not the center of the wall, but the corner. You can put more weight on the corner of this wall because it's joined together. Like just like the Israelites that were crossing through, they had the stone upon their shoulders. Jesus took the weight upon the church and took it himself. He took the burdens. He is the chief cornerstone that was rejected. And these people had the word, but they still rejected him. Why did they reject Jesus? Because Jesus was the common man. Jesus was somebody that they could look upon and say, he's just like us. You ever wonder why you begin to do something great in your life and God began to manifest favor in your life and people come against you? Because they don't understand how, God, you can get what you're getting when you're just like them. Well, I've been in church a long time and I ain't got my breakthrough. That's not a testimony. I've been in church I've been saved 25 years and you're still broke. You're still going through what you're going through, then you haven't given up your will. You can be in church 25 years, 35 years, but you ain't giving up your will. You're not getting your breakthrough. Breakthrough don't mean money. Breakthrough means that you're breaking out of the way you used to be something that you've never been. Do you see? So that when people can look at you and say, you have changed. I've seen a change in you. I've seen God work in you. Because you're not how you used to be. It just seems like people in church think, well, 25 years, I get my pen. I've been saved 25 years. You can go to H-E-B, and I know a good person at H-E-B. She sees my wife and I come to H-E-B. She's at the checker. She, hey, how you doing, Marty? And she's got pins all over her name tag to show how long she's been there. Christians want those name tags with all those pins like I've been here. I'm getting my double diamond next month. But outside of church, you wouldn't know they were saved. Had to go there, Jackie. Tenure, it seems like the church thinks they got to have tenure just so they can say, maybe I used to be way back in the day, back in the day. We didn't have no overhead. We didn't have no praise team. What we did have. I'm going to go to church now. Go to church. All I had was a tambourine. Then all of a sudden, now that tambourine started going. Holy Ghost started hitting. Hey. Hey, I feel my helper. I don't feel my helper. I feel my helper coming to me. I feel my helper. Yeah. I feel my helper. Hey. See, that's what it's about. See, the folks back then knew how to get into the presence of God without even having chairs, without even having AC. Because what I'm talking about, I can remember when I would go to this tent called Galvan Ministries, and I didn't understand what was going on, but I saw people getting slain. I saw people vomiting. I saw people getting slain all over the place, and I didn't know what was going on, but there were no chairs for people to be real comfortable. See, when God gets into your life, he makes things a little bit uncomfortable. Why? Because he wants you to get to a place you've never been. Because not you'll stay where you've always been. We gonna get all caught up with, Pastor, it's hot in here. Well, fan yourself. These chairs, they got stains on it. You sitting on them. Do you remember that tent? I remember that tent. My grandma, my family, Ooh. Grandma had a, she wrestled with God because she had a limp. But all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would hit. The hands start going up. And all of a sudden, now you don't hear anything come out of the mouth. And all of a sudden, mama, I see my mama get up, and I was a little kid, I don't know. You got away from all that. You really did. You didn't have to go to these revivals. You remember. You went. See, I got family in here. And these 10 revivals, you had a tendency to see some people all in whites. I said, we are in the hospital or something. There's nurses up there. I can see why there's nurses up there. All that falling out and everything. People getting hurt. But one thing that was deep inside of them, they had a song. They had a song that maybe grandma or mama in their lineage sang to them. They had a song within them. How many of us have a song within us that we can draw back and say, oh, yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah. See, there's something inside when somebody can say, I hear a sound. I hear a sound. And in this sound, it's like the mighty rushing winds that are coming in. Because, see, before they can ever become the new church, there was a sound that came first. There was a sound that came first. And they were in an upper room that was uncomfortable, and it was hot. And they had other people that just staring at them. What are we here for? Why are we here? Because Jesus said, go and wait. The problem is we can't go and wait because sometimes we got people in our ears saying, this is not God. Because God wouldn't leave us here this long. God is never late. He would have been here when he said he was going to show up. You see, you got people talking in your ear. And all of a sudden gets you out of the will of God because you got people in your ear. Then you miss what God had intended for you. Some people walk on out that room, but you miss what was coming to you if you just stay where you're supposed to stay. Oh, watch this. When you stay where God has planted you, all of a sudden the wind, the sound comes in. Then you begin to feel the effect. And when the effect takes place, now the fires begin to separate and it lights upon their head as tongues. See, the blessing comes in multiples and multiples. But we got to get to that place. We've got to be able to carry that load and carry that burden. And when we carry that burden, everybody's going to see. Sometimes it's weighted down because it's heavy. And then you feel like nobody else can help you because God said for me to carry it, not for you to carry it. And so he has to carry it. See, the people are watching Joshua go back with these stones. And they're looking at him like, we just took 12 out, but you're putting 12 in. Sometimes you feel like some things are taken away, but God will always replace. He'll make the set man pick it up and carry it for everybody to see. God has definitely called you. And if you can just stay put where he called you, you'll see that the more and more you're obedient to him, you'll see the blessing of God on your life. Amen. He did not say it was going to be easy. He said that if you just go and wait, I will send the comforter. Problem is, we don't like the waiting. Can you imagine Joshua after he saw all those grapes and all those houses that he knew one of them was his? I can't even get y'all to say, I'm going to get my house because it ain't happening. I put my breakthrough tithe in the envelope and I ain't seen nothing yet. I've been giving my offerings on PayPal on the website. I ain't seen nothing yet. Matter of fact, you don't even send me a thank you letter. Just examples. But watch it. And then you go in and I'm going to put you in the back, Jackie. You go and walk out the land around the house. See, I've seen a big old house the other day. Walk around the house. Like, ooh, it's my house. It's my house. How you going to get it? I don't know. It's my house. File bankruptcy. I know, but it's my house. Uh-huh. It's my house. Yeah. What are they going to say when you get it? I don't care. It's my house. Baby, you like this house? Yeah, it's my house. So then me and my wife are there like, why don't we just drive over there? Why don't we just sit in the backyard, sit on the patio, and let's start redesigning the outside exterior, what we want it to do, how we want it to look like. Why do you think it hasn't sold yet? Well, because some things are hidden for you, not from you. Amen. Joshua and Caleb were over in the promised land. They saw what was rightfully theirs. They saw what was rightfully theirs. But yet they were still patient enough when they didn't go over, and they knew one thing. If you read on in the scripture in Genesis, you read on about it in Numbers, you will see this. Watch. That they would follow Moses into the glory. And they learn how to wait on the presence of God that they would get victory. Amen. See, some people you got to watch, and some people you got to follow, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when you're like, why did you send me to this Mexican church? Because this is not how we used to do. Because it's a little bit different here. It gets a little bit louder here. It gets a little bit louder now. 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 What am I talking about? I'm talking about your praise. Your praise. Your praise brings down those walls. Your praise gets you what's yours. Your praise. I hear a sound. I hear a sound above the mulberry trees, which is going to give me victory. Because there's a sound deep inside my soul that is bringing me a new beat. It is bringing me a new song. We've been holding on to the old. We got to let go to grab hold of the new. God has given you a new song in your step. He's given a new song in your spirit. And you'll be able to walk this thing out. And when they say, how did you get that house? With your bankruptcy, no job, you had debt. They were looking for you. How did you get that house? Nothing but God. That's a little bit memorial message. Then
just trust God in everything you do.
And he shall bring to you your promises. And I heard a sound. I heard a sound. And this sound was moving above the trees, the mulberry trees. These trees are the one that brings the liniment that helps heal the sheep. There's a sound that is bringing healing to the people of God. What kind of healing do you need? If you need healing in your body, let me remind you what Jesus did. He is the healer. He is the provider. He is the one that feeds you when you're hungry. He clothes you when you're naked. He's the one that delivers you of the spirit. He gives sight to the blind. He gives the ability to walk when you're lame. He gives you the ability to hear when you're deaf. He casts out demons, but he speaks life and love unto you. This is Jesus. He is the memorial. He's the one that said, what mean this stone? What mean this stone? He is the rock of my salvation. He is the rock of my eternity. He is the rock that I can lay my head on and say, it's because of you, Jesus. Because of you, Jesus. I can face my tomorrow, but I can make it through my day. Jesus is my rock. You can't take my rock away. You can't take my revelation away. You can't let the enemy try to steal that revelation. You can only give it away. Jesus is the only way you're ever going to make it through. The only way. Hold on to that. He is the memorial. What mean this stone? What mean this stone? Jesus is the stone. He's the chief cornerstone. And if you've never had him in your life before, today is the day. Today is the day. Let him in. Let him in. All he wants to do is to get you to a better place. He may part the waters for you. He may part the Red Sea, part the Jordan. But you're walking over on dry land and into a better land. Let your past go. Don't memorialize death. Memorialize life. Don't memorialize those that have passed on. Memorialize who is still alive today, which is Jesus Christ. He's not in a grave. He's not in a tomb. He's not on the cross. He is deep within inside of you as long as you believe it. And every power and authority that was given to the apostles is given to you. Everything that you're facing, you have the ability to speak to it and cast it away. That's what you memorialize. You memorialize the living of Jesus Christ, not the death, because he's not dead. You don't go back and say, oh, I remember when. No, he's still doing it today. He didn't shut the doors of the past. All he did is says, look at the past to remember what I did. Greater things you shall do. Greater things you shall do. He is the rock. He is your memorial. And don't ever lose it. Don't lose sight of it. Keep your eyes and your gaze focused on him. And he'll get you through. He'll get you through. And he'll bring you to your other side. To your other side. But watch this. When they came out of the Jordan, he says, now lay those stones where you will rest tonight. You think you got to keep carrying that stone every day, every night. We don't know how to rest in him. Rest when you get to your other side. You may have gone through a storm, even when gone through something that was really tough. Rest that he is getting you through. Rest. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Mm-hmm. Woo-wee. Boy, y'all better get this tambourine away from me. A song that is being released. And in this song, you're going to realize that when the Israelites crossed over, they sang a song. They sang a song. They sang a song. Has the enemy stolen your joy? Has he stolen your song? God has given you a new song. Grab hold of it. Some of you are going to start to realize that the song that he's given you is being written out for you. I said, but this is so hard. So hard. How do I do it? How will I make it? The psalmist David wrote that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me all. The psalmist wrote songs of his hardships and his praise of his goodness and his mercy. A new song is being written in your heart today. A new song. It's a new song of hope. And a new song for new life. New life. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.